Happy Resurrection Sunday, y'all. My name is Matt McFadden, and I am so glad that you're here. I assume that you are here for the same reason that I am here, and that is to celebrate the greatest news and the greatest event that has ever happened in the history of the world, and that is the fact that he is risen, right? Those three words, hands down, are probably the most important three words ever strung together in a sentence. Because that changes my reality, it changes my future, it changes my past, and it gives me power right here, right now, y'all. That is amazing. And, you know, culture may try its best to strip Jesus out of this weekend. The government may try its best to strip Jesus from this weekend, but that is simply impossible because he is far too great and far too powerful. And last I checked, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning. And so, yeah, try your best. Try your best. It's not going to happen. You know, the world, I assume the world at times looks in at the church and says, man, why is Easter such an important day to you guys? Is it not just another Sunday, right? And I would say absolutely not. This is important to us because had Jesus not rose from the dead, Christianity would be a lie. It would be a scam. We could go and spend our Sunday mornings doing something else. Right? Paul said in the Bible that if Christ hadn't risen from the dead, then man, Christians should be pitied above all people. Like, man, you guys need some help. But since Jesus was risen and is alive today, man, it confirms who Jesus is and it guarantees what he came to do. It's all real. It is real this morning. The resurrection proves, number one, that God loves you. God loves you. He knows you and he loves you. Jesus came to the earth to prove that love. God loves you and at the same time, he hates sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Matt McFadden has sinned and fallen short. And no matter how many good things I try to do or no matter how many good things we try to do, unfortunately, our life is tainted and permeated by sin, and sin separates us from God. Why? Because God is holy, and sin and holiness cannot coexist together. That is terrible, terrible news. The reality is that every sin must be punished, and that punishment is death, even more bad news. But the good news in Jesus is that he loves us. God loves us. And Jesus came and he lived the perfect life that you and I could not live. And he came and died the death on a cross so that we didn't have to do that. He took our punishment upon himself. And through the cross and the resurrection, he defeated sin, death, hell, and the grave. And that is the good news. God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son for you. Now, how do we participate in this, man? All who call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. We place our trust and our faith in him, and we'll be saved. That is amazing news this morning. Man, the second thing is that the resurrection proves that Jesus was truly divine, that he really was the Son of God. If you've spent any time reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see some pretty outlandish claims that Jesus made. I mean, he made some wild claims, like I and the Father are one, I'm from heaven, right? I am God, I can forgive your sins. He predicted his death. He told his closest friends, hey, by the way, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to be risen from the dead. He says in John chapter 10, he says, I have the authority to lay my life down and I have the authority to take it back up. Has anybody ever heard anybody say statements like that in your life ever? Anybody? No, of course not, because nobody can back that up. It is impossible to make claims like that and actually live them out. I don't know about you, but maybe you're in here and you have questions. Maybe you have some skepticism or even some doubts about Christ and the idea of him raising from the dead. And if you're in here with questions, I would say good. I would say great, man. You are in a very safe place to come and wrestle through faith. We would welcome you to come and figure things out and ask questions. And here's the reality. Anything worth believing can stand up against some questions. Anything worth believing can stand up against some questions. And I would argue that questions are good because what that'll end up helping you in, it'll help you dismantle false beliefs, things you should not believe in, like what culture is peddling us every single day, like, hey, live for yourself, live for your own personal happiness, do whatever makes you happy. That's the best life. You may have tried to live that life a little bit. You begin to ask questions about that ideology, and you start seeing some holes and some gaps in this thinking, and you say, man, this isn't all it's cracked up to be, right? So you ask some questions, and that helps dismantle false belief, things that we shouldn't believe in. But at the other side of that coin is that when we begin to ask questions about truth, it can stand on its own two feet. It doesn't. You don't have to worry about it. You can ask questions. You can bring those to him. And my encouragement to you this morning is that if you have questions, may it drive you closer to Jesus and not farther away. He can handle it. He can handle your past. He can handle your questions. He knows your words before. The Bible says they even get to the tip of your tongue. So bring them to him and watch. The claims of Jesus being resurrected, you know, to our ears, it is kind of an irrational claim, is it not? I mean, has anybody seen anybody stand up off the embalming table, you know, at the morgue? Have you seen anybody unzip a body bag that they've been hanging out in for a few days? No, we have not seen that. Jesus is truly different. He really is divine. I love C.S. Lewis's famous quote. You've read it and heard it, I'm sure. Jesus is either a liar, he is a lunatic, or he is Lord. And my question this morning to you, just very bluntly, who do you say he is? Who do you say Jesus is this morning? You think he's lost his mind? He's this lunatic over here? Do you think he is peddling some lies, some false things, this cult, whatever? Or is he truly Lord? And I would argue that the moment he stood up out of that grave and he walked out, he proved that he was Lord of all, period. He appeared to Mary and Peter and the 12 and then 500 people. It's documented that he showed up to James and then the apostles, and he's just hanging out, proving, man, I am alive. This is real, and you can believe in me. So the resurrection proves Jesus, God loves you, that Jesus was truly the Son of God. And number three, it proves the limitless power of God. And 3 days before the resurrection, Jesus hanging on the cross, he yields up his spirit. You know, in the natural, that was a pretty dark moment. It's a pretty dark moment, at least for a moment, right? Satan threw everything that he could at destroying the Son of God, everything, pulled out all the stops. And for a moment, when he breathed his last breath and he died, it was dark. But I love what the scripture says, man. 3 days later, the earth shook. Right? The earth gave witness to the power of Jesus, man. That's crazy. The earth responded. The Bible says that God raised him from the dead because it was not possible, impossible for death to hold him. Resurrection power, right? The resurrection, that word literally means, I love this, to stand up again. I think that's powerful, man. Jesus was laying down for 3 days dead. 3 days later, man, he stood up in power in a new body, man, in a glorified body, never to die again. This is limitless power. God is all powerful. The Bible tells us that he spoke into existence creation. He spoke into existence humanity. Tells us that he owns it all by his power. He rules and has authority over all. It says, in your hand are power and might, so that none are able to withstand you. And then if that wasn't enough, he proved he had power over life and death by raising Jesus from the grave. He displayed that power 2,000 years ago. You know, humans are intrigued with the idea of power, are we not? We like power. We want power. There's a famous quote out there that says, everybody wants power. And if you say you don't, you're lying, right? Like, we all are so intrigued with this idea of ability and power and strength, right? You think about people that hold power and you're kind of in awe of them a little bit. You think about the president of the United States, right? This person is the leader of the free world. Position comes with power. You think about people like Elon Musk, who has financial wealth beyond our wildest imaginations, right? He has a ton of buying power. He's buying up businesses left and right. I mean, he's flying rockets to Mars. He wants to put people on Mars, y'all. That's wild, man. And he's getting close. I mean, he's, you know, the Falcon 9 rocket that went up and into the outer space and came back down and landed on this little pad. I mean, think about this power and these achievements that people are doing. You think about influence. It still blows my mind how much influence Taylor Swift has. Did she not hijack the Super Bowl? Like, it still blows my mind. Nobody cares who won the Super Bowl. Everybody was like, oh, take the camera back to Taylor Swift so we can see her partying or whatever, right? Like, global influence, she can hijack the Super Bowl. It's crazy. You think about artificial intelligence for just a minute, right? All that has come about here, these minds that are creating these computers that can do unbelievable things. There's a scientist who believes that in 10 years, AI will surpass the sum total of all human brain power. That is wild power. I mean, these next 10 years are going to be a wild ride, no doubt about it. But we all love the idea of power. Why? Because it gives us a sense of control. It gives us a sense of being able to control my environment and my circumstances, and I have power to do certain things. But the reality is this: man's power is limited. No matter how good we get at creating stuff, no matter how much power we can control, no matter how much money we can collect, man's power is limited, and it's in primarily two areas. Man's power is limited, and it is out of our control to control sin and death. Nobody can control that. I like what John Stott says. He says, man is mortal, and he cannot avoid death, and man is fallen, and he cannot overcome evil. No matter how hard we try to rid this world of sin and problems, it fails. And no matter how hard we try to avoid death and extend life and eat some broccoli and drink some water and take some supplements, right, and try to do the good things, nobody can avoid death. Death has a 100% success rate. It has a great track record. It's pretty successful. All people pass away. Sin separates us from God, and death is a result of sin. But God's power in Christ has conquered both of those things. And he has the ability to rescue us from sin and death. That is the power of the resurrection. The resurrection is not some event in the past that's back there. No, the resurrection has implications on my life today, and it affects me right now. That is amazing truth. You know, I love what Paul says in Philippians 3:10. He says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. One of Paul's greatest desires in his life was that he would know Christ and at the same time know the power of the resurrection. This goes well beyond the idea of knowing things in our head. What Tamara said just a few moments ago on her video, she said, I had a lot of head knowledge, knew a lot of things about Jesus, right? What Paul is talking about is something far deeper, far more personal. It's a personal knowing. It's an experiential knowing in our lives in that we can know him and the power of his resurrection. That's amazing. You know, I really want Southcrest Church to be a place, a people that knows Christ and lives every single day in the power that is offered to us. That's what I want. I want it for Matt. I want to know his power more. Grab your Bibles to go to Ephesians chapter 1 with me for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, maybe one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It is unbelievable, Ephesians 1. And we're going to talk about resurrection power for the last few moments of this message here. Paul is writing a letter to this church in Ephesus. And he takes verses 1 through 14, and he's just breaking down some awesome theology and doctrine. I mean, he is talking about, for everyone that is in Christ, you have all the blessings, right? You get it all, right? You have forgiveness of sin. You have been chosen and adopted. You are in, right, in his family. You've predestined to be a part of his family, right? Through the cross, you have forgiveness of sin. Through the Holy Spirit that he gives you, you have eternal security. Like, he's just like ripping it. All of this amazing theology that we can know. But then verse 15, he flips. He says, for this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He's praying for them now. Why is he praying? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's almost as if there are varying degrees of knowing God. I can have a head knowledge, an intellectual knowledge of him, but I can also, by the Spirit of God, grow in wisdom and understanding of who he is and what he's done for my life, right? And that I can know him over the course of my life better and better and better and better. And man, that's what I want. I want that. I want to know the Lord better. There is no end to knowing how great our God is. He goes on, 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order. There's three things he says. I want the eyes of your inner man, your spirit, to be opened, not blinded, not closed. You want to see this, experience this, that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And then verse 19 is what I want to focus on this morning. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and is seated and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul is saying, I want you believers to know the power of God that is in you and that is for you and that is toward you in your life. I want that. I hope you want that as well. Now, what does that look like? What does resurrection power look like in our lives daily? What's it look like? Well, number one, the moment you place your faith in Christ, that power has the power to change my past. How many of you guys in here, if you had the ability that you would get in a time machine and go back in time and change some of the decisions that you've made in your past? Right some of the wrongs, fix some of the relationships, ask for forgiveness, and say you're sorry to people that you've hurt or harmed, right? All of us would take that deal. Like, put me in the time machine. Take me back. But we don't have that power. We can't. But God has the power to take our past and cancel the debt that we owe and forgive us of our sin. That is power that affects my past. Romans 4, 25. It's talking about Jesus who was delivered up for our transgressions, right? Jesus died on the cross for our sins and raised for our justification. Do you see how the cross and the resurrection are like, they're bound together? They're almost two things, but one event that secures our forgiveness and our right standing before God. Without the cross, there would be no forgiveness of sin. And without the resurrection, there would be no proof. There would be no proof that we have been justified and that we have been forgiven in him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17 says this, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. But man, 2,000 years ago, he did raise from the dead. He got up and he walked out, man. Yeah, and it confirms and it authenticates that our sins have been forgiven and we are free and justified in him. You know, I think there are a lot of people in this world that want a fresh start. That maybe some of you in here, I don't know, that you would admit that your past is littered with problems and failures, maybe even scars from abuse, mistakes, maybe addiction, brokenness. And you would just say, man, if I could hit the reset button, I would do it. And I'm telling you, man, Jesus is your hope for a new start and a new life. There was this lady a long time ago, Louisa Fletcher is her name. She had normal hopes and dreams for her life. She wanted to have a husband and to have a family and just live a normal life. Unfortunately, life dealt her pretty terrible blows. In her first marriage, she got married to the man of her dreams. It turned out to be a pretty abusive and terrible marriage. The gentleman was an alcoholic and just, it was just terrible. It ended in divorce. Her heart was broken. And then later on, she had a desire to be married, yes, and also to have a child. And so she gets married again and she ends up having a daughter, and she's very, very excited. Unfortunately, her daughter was born with schizophrenia and later died at the age of 16, and just on and on and on, problems and tragedy in her life. And so she was a writer, and she wrote these few sentences as a part of a larger piece. And the tragedy is that after she wrote this, not much longer after this, she ended up passing away. Here's what she said. She said, "I wish that there were some wonderful place in the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and all of our heartaches and all of our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby coat at the door and never put on again." I think there are a lot of people that are walking around in this life that they wish that they could take their past and their hurt and their problems and their sin and drop it at the door like an old shabby coat and never put it on again. Jesus, by his power, offers us that ability to take that nasty coat off. And not only that, he gives you a new coat and a new robe, and he puts a ring on your finger, and he welcomes you into the house, and he throws a party for you, like it says in the prodigal son story, right? He welcomes you in and changes your life. Resurrection has the power to change my past. The resurrection gives me power for today. It gives me power for today, right? This idea just keeps going. The moment we place our faith in Jesus, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And it gives life to our mortal bodies. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life." Resurrection gives me power for today, that I could live and I can walk differently than what I did before. That I'm living and behaving and acting as somebody different. Like the old Matt is gone and the new Matt is here, and I'm able to live a different life. I'm able to overcome sin in my life, right? This sin that I used to chase every day to give me some fulfillment, some semblance of fulfillment that really left me empty, right? My life was all about these things over here, but over time, through sanctification, I don't want that anymore in my life. Now I'm pursuing Christ. I have the power to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh. The power of God helps change my character, who I am. You know, I used to be angry and selfish and greedy and prideful, but now it's like, no, I'm selfless and I'm acting more generously and I'm actually full of joy and I'm not so angry and frustrated anymore. Like, God is changing me from the inside out. And then the power also gives me purpose. So many people in this life are looking for purpose and they're seeking for it in all kind of different ways and avenues. But when we place our faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into us, it gives us purpose, because now we get to build God's kingdom along with him. We get to share the good news and be witnesses for him throughout the world and tell people, like, look, I don't know about all this stuff, but I was once blind, but now I see. My life is different and it gives me purpose. Lastly, resurrection has the power to change my past. It gives me power for today, that I could walk in newness of life. And it also has the power to secure my future. John 11, Jesus is talking here, and I love this. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And he poses the question, do you believe this? And my question to you today is, do you believe this? Do you believe when you place your faith and your trust, you repent of your sins, and you confess Jesus as Lord, that your eternity is secure and that nothing, doesn't matter what happens to you in this life, the moment that you pass away, you are in glory and with Jesus forever? That is hope. That is a living hope that we can place our faith in. I want to close with this. D.L. Moody, he has a great quote about this idea. He said, "Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Norfield is dead. Don't believe a word of it." At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that is all, gone out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, and a body that cannot be touched, that sin cannot taint, a body like unto his own glorious body. I love this. I was born in the flesh, 1837, and I was born of the spirit, 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the spirit shall live forever. That is powerful, man. That is powerful. In closing, my question to you today is, do you want to experience resurrection power in your life? Do you want that? I want that. And for all of the believers in here that have placed their faith in Christ years ago, you can know power at a greater level than you currently are experiencing and living in it right now. You can experience more of that. How do we access that? Paul tells them, man, we pray for it. God, give us revelation and knowledge and wisdom of the power that is towards us. So that's my prayer. I want to walk in power every single day. The freedom there, the power, the joy. Man, it's amazing. But for those of you who have yet to place their faith in Christ, do you want to experience that? That life that he offers us? How many of you in here would love a new start? You would love a fresh beginning in this life. You would love to take your past off like an old, nasty, shabby coat at the door, shed that thing, and never put it on again. How many of you would love to experience belonging in relationship and companionship? So many people live this life lonely and isolated, longing to experience love. Well, Jesus offers you deep and everlasting love that cannot leave you void or wanting. How many of you would like to overcome sin in your life? You're tired of living selfishly or in greed or in anger all the time. You're just, I'm done with this. This is exhausting. He's offering you freedom from that as well. How many of you in here are longing for purpose in this life? And you've been looking, and maybe you've been successful in career and jobs and relationships, but still you're a little empty in your life, and you're a little empty in your heart, and you're just wondering, like, man, what is this life? I'm here to tell you that your purpose is found in him, in him alone. How many of you in here would like to have your eternity secured, fixed, and knowing that you will forever be in God's presence, man? I want that for you. I want that for us.